All right, we're in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and I'm going to just read this on my own because we're actually going to read together our Ephesians passage. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So to understand how to fight this flesh and spirit thing, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 in your phones and in your paper Bibles. And then we're going to read together up here. I'm going to read the underline and you're going to read the non-underline. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How much of the armor? The whole armor of God. Okay. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, and that means the darts, the schemes, the deceptions of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then the next verse says, stand, therefore. And so four times Paul tells us in this bit of scripture to stand means to hold your ground, to be stable, okay? And we talked about the power last week available to us that God supplies with his great power. So that we can stand, we can take that stand against what's coming at us. And all that is based on choice. Do you realize that? All of us based on choice, whether we decide we're going to stand or not stand. And so I want to add a piece of our arsenal that Paul doesn't talk about this morning. With Nike's motto, just do it. Okay? Now, I like slogans that are impactful, don't you? Slogans that really have a good meaning, truth in them, and in this case, I think a needed truth. So this morning, as we look at the tools that God has given us, let's use that intentionality. Just do it. Choose God, amen?
Amen.
That's what we're after this morning, because this stuff comes at us, and we just so want to give in, right? Let's just be honest with ourselves. We want to give in to it all. And so let's just do it. Choose to do what God has said. Now, why am I making this point? Okay. Because we think we need to know what the battle looks like. Right? We just can't hear about it. We got to see what it looks like before we put our toe in the water, so to speak. But there is no visual to this battle, only artists who put something together, and they have no better idea than we do. Maybe a more creative mind, who knows. And so they have no idea either. And so God has seen fit to only give us the knowledge of the battle. Even though we can't see it, nor will we see it in this life as we breathe. So as I thought about it, I thought, okay, how can I illustrate this? And I thought, okay, Luke Skywalker, okay? Now, how many of you are fans? Okay, all right, so we got a few fans in here. All right, the rest of you, no, don't go to sleep. Okay, so Luke Skywalker is learning to use his lightsaber, right? And so there's a practice ball. If you look over to the left there, there's a little practice ball, and it'll jump at him, and he has to use his lightsaber to fend it off. And so finally Yoda, his teacher, right, says, wear this helmet with the whole front down so that he can't see. And so he is able to concentrate not seeing, but when he sees, he gets hit by that little ball and it has an electric shock to it. And so I thought, you know what? Maybe there's some truth in this for us. We need to know what we do, we need to do, and then we stand our ground, but no visual that would most likely distract or overpower us. You know what I'm saying? Right? If somebody hits you in a car and you don't see it, well, it's a rude awakening, but if you see it coming, it's fear, right? And so we look at this and I think, wow, we could be distracted and overcome because we don't know what that world looks like. And if we did, we may freeze rather than stand around. And so we stand with this knowledge and the use of our weaponry, and having done all, the scripture says to stand. But here's a caution, a trap of the devil. It's too easy for us to play the victim, to blame everything around us when the battle is full blown in our hearts and say, oh, I did what God said as hard as I could, but it was too much and the devil was too strong. Now, I know you've never said that to yourself, okay? But listen, the devil has no power over you. This is one of the exciting parts. He has no power over you to make you do anything. He may throw his little arrow or dart or deception, but it's you and I that make the decision. Amen? Do you get that? You have choice. Okay. Now, I thought I'd illustrate this. Now, some of you old-timers in the audience will get this. Okay. How many remember Flip Wilson, the comedian? Okay. What was his famous line? The devil made me do it. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to watch a 44-second video so the rest of you know. You know, I listened to that and I thought, well, it's not funny anymore. You know how comedy goes in and out. It was still funny. The devil made me do it. Devil made me buy the dress. And you know what's interesting about that whole thing is, excuse me. It's funny because he makes the point that the devil doesn't make her do anything. And he became world famous with that. And he had all kinds of branches off that comedy. But it caught on with people, and they began to use that as a way out of their responsibility of choice to say, you know, the devil made me do it, he did it, and so I just surrendered to it. I didn't have enough power or decision-making ability. And I remember that kind of sweeping the church for a while. And so all the pastor had to start correcting Flip Wilson in that. So we're to take a stand. Now listen to what James says. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Yeah, we can't blame it on the devil. The devil did not make me do it. The devil did not make you do it. We're enticed by our own desires. So we are able to take this stand, excuse me, against the temptations. And if you fall, own it and get back up again. You hear that? So many times people fall and then they're like, oh man, I've totally lost it. I'm no good Christian anymore. Get up. Get up and get going again. So, all right, let's look at these protections that God has given us. And Paul likens it to the Roman soldier armor that we have at our fingertips. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And I added already, because we already have the truth. Stand therefore, having, and in the grammar, it tells us that we already have it. Stand therefore, having already girded your waist with truth. Now, in the armor, the typical thing was it was almost like a pair of trunks, leather. It guarded the genital area, guarded around the waist. It came pretty reasonably high to keep the vitals from any sword or something hitting in. And then in the Hebrew, it means loins, and it was very intentional power, a seat of strength and stamina in a person. And so when the soldier was fighting, that was where his strength came from. That was Greek thought. That was Hebrew thought. And the belt of truth is the most useful, since it not only protects the vitals and the midsection, it was also the holder of the shield, the sword, the spear, and anchors the breastplate down. Otherwise, the breastplate would just flap. Okay? Now, think of it this way. Truth gives us an internal strength that moves us forward in the right direction, because truth clarifies any situation. Did you hear that? Truth clarifies any situation. But believing a lie or deception weakens us. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. You're feeling pretty good in your Christian life, and you're doing well, and you fall, and what happens? You feel weak. You feel tired. You feel repentive. Whatever it may be in your life. Because when we get to that and we believe that lie or that deception that somehow will fill all our need outside of God, that's when we grow weak. And truth is the ultimate clarifier and protects us from false thinking and from being tripped up in the battle of life. Truth is the basic element of the whole armor. And believing God truths in all matters, that's why it's mentioned first. And without it, we're lost. The belt of truth is the seat of our power that God gives us. Amen? We are to encircle our very internal energy in God's truth, and we are to bathe in truth. You hear me? We are to soak in the truth and let that truth permeate our thinking. Because when we just take a hit and miss at the truth, we end up not believing it. Isn't that true? You got to bathe and soak in it. And the Bible says that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. People, we have the truth, and God wants us not only to tell the truth, He wants us to hear the truth, bathe and soak, because it's the only way we can grow. Listen to this scripture. But speaking the truth in love, we may what? Grow up into Him who is the head, Christ. Listen, we have all these clouds of confusion that we build in our head and enters into our mind, which slowly compromises us. We lose strength. We live out consequences because we didn't believe that God's truth is enough. And we lose our strength. So let me ask you something this morning. Are you flirting with a lie right now? I'm looking at each one of you. No. Are you flirting with a lie or lies? Are you believing a lie? Maybe even searching for a good lie to land on? So you can do what you want to do? Man, it's not very hard to find a lie, is it? It's a little harder to find the truth. And you might say to me or your mate or your friend, I don't know what the truth is. It all seems to be gray area to me. What's that telling us? You're compromising. That's what it's telling us. Because I know the Holy Spirit has your heart, Christian. And he reminds us of the truth. God says very clearly that he will point it out to us. Listen to the promise from Philippians 4, 13 through 15. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, which is a great thing for us to remember, right? Let the past go and move forward, is what Paul's saying. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, now we come to the verse we really need to hear this morning. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And you have to go all the way back through Philippians 3 to get that, okay? Have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, and you read the last few words with me, God will reveal even this to you. Say it again. God will reveal even this to you. God's going to reveal it to you. My friend, you have a promise from God that if you're off track, he's going to tell you you're off track. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's that voice in there that says, don't do that. Okay. That is an awesome promise. If you believe a lie, you will know it. Now, let's move on to the second piece of armor. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14, the other half. This leather armor, chest armor, was worn by a soldier to protect all the rest of the vital areas that the belt didn't protect. So truth and righteousness kind of go together, don't they? And then the breastplate was anchored into that truth and especially protected the heart. And Paul uses this word picture of the breastplate, telling us that righteousness covers and protects the tender parts in our heart. And as I prayed over this message, I thought, how easy it is for us to let life go by, let things just happen, let our Christian life slip a bit, rather than purposely intentional pursuit. You know, every time I start to think about that, Chuck Berry's song comes to my mind. Riding around in my automobile with no particular place to go. Do you some of you remember that? Yeah, we all laughed when it came on because it was so out of character of Chuck Berry at the time. Riding around in my automobile with no particular place to go. Boy, isn't that a catch for sin, huh? It's so easy to stay unmotivated and with no intentionality, and our passion falls somewhere else besides God. And we know that ultimately we follow what we have passion for. And if it isn't, and if it's unrighteousness, we get shipwrecked. It's just a matter of time, right? Because God says he'll expose it. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. Isn't there a lot of things in our life that we don't want to have known? Or is it just me? All because we follow only what we see, what our flesh sees and craves. But what happens when we have passion for righteousness? It's unique. We already have the breastplate of righteousness on. It isn't something that we get up and put on every day. It's that we get up and remember we have it on. Because Christ made us righteous. But we sometimes forget that. And maybe some of you here didn't know, even though you're a Christian, that you're righteous. Because we look at it in our mind with all these temptations and we get involved in sin. We think, oh, we're not righteous, therefore Christ didn't provide his righteousness for us. Oh, yes, he did. That's what the Father sees, the righteousness in you. We've been declared righteous, made righteous the moment we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Listen to this in Romans 3:20. There's quite a few different versions, but I'm going to read this one. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it really should say this, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Now, who's all who believes? All of us, right? So he places his righteousness on us. We have the breastplate of righteousness. It's there. It will always be there. And we are righteous through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to make you righteous and to make me righteous. You know, maybe I can explain it this way. We are righteous through Jesus Christ, and we make mistakes at times, and we don't act the way we should act, and we choose unrighteousness, and then we kind of feel dirty. Now, I went over to a friend's company a couple weeks ago, and I was walking through his back lot with another employee, and I had worn my brand new tennis shoes, okay? It had snowed 2 days before. It's all dirt. What do you think that looked like? You know, trying to not step in the mud hole. And finally I got done and I looked at the other guy and I said, man, look at it. I totally wrecked these tennis shoes. And I want to draw a parallel here because I was bummed. And I came home, and I showed Deb, I said, look at this. They're brand new, and they're so stinking dirty. I said, I just guess I'm going to use them for the lawnmower, you know, to mow the lawn in the summer and let them get all green, you know. And Deb says, well, I'll take them off. And she threw them in the washer, threw them in the dryer, handed them back to me, and they're brand new. I didn't know you could do that. I thought, well, I'm confessing how many times I've done the washer and dryer. You know, I stand there and look at it and try to figure out, okay, how much? No. Now, here's the parallel. Just like my tennis shoes, we are righteous according to God. And much of the time, we may live like it, and I think a lot of times you live like it more than you think you do. Because temptation is not sin, right? Jesus said, I was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And so sometimes we get to thinking we're just unrighteous character. Oh, no, my friend, you are judging yourself wrong. Most of the time, you are righteous. Once in a while, you're very not, right? And you get a little mud on your tennis shoes. We have to throw them in, and God throws them in the washer, throws them in the dryer, and hands it back, and we got the clean breastplate of righteousness again. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
Man, I love that. We were never unrighteous before God, as far as he's concerned. But our choices and our actions weren't righteous, and we were commanded to practice righteousness as a habit of life. So to conclude, let me read Romans 6:13. And do not present your members, it means your person, okay, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You're a slave and you'll always be a slave. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? You're probably thinking, no. We serve something all the time. And so God says, don't serve righteousness, or don't serve unrighteousness, but serve righteousness. But you're going to serve one or the other. You have to decide what you're going to serve. Are you going to serve righteousness? Or are you going to serve unrighteousness? You know, I look at our society today and the direction it's going, even us as Christians, and I look at as Christians, we're beginning to morph and compromise our beliefs because what's happening in the world, and I think it's because we don't want the persecution, right? I don't. Do you?
No.
And so we hear all this stuff coming out and all these stiff-back Christians who don't want us to have fun or whatever it may be. I'm sorry. We're called to righteousness, amen?
Amen.
And we're called to suffer. A couple good verses on that. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And I'm afraid like you are. I want to be accepting of everybody, and we can love everybody, amen? Okay, but God tells us to shy away from those people who are delved into sin that he lists in your bulletin on that little sheet. Okay? He names off a long list of sins there, and please read it. And then he concludes it with, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We have to decide who we are, Christian. To act out our righteousness intentionally and act out who we are in Christ and who Christ says it is, and not turning ourselves over to unrighteousness or approving of unrighteousness. But choose and act like our breastplate of righteousness, the gift of God who gave us that. So I want you to think about over the next couple weeks, thinking we're going to go through the other pieces of the armor, we're going to look at it, and I'm going to challenge you. Okay? And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you're enjoying this series, ask a friend to come and share with us. I'm going to stop right here. Let's use Nike's slogan, just do it. Do what God says. It's not all that painful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We thank you, O Lord. That Paul was able to describe that to us so that we would understand what you're thinking. Lord, we know we're already righteous. We already have the truth. We just have to believe it and not compromise. And we have to look at that unrighteousness, Lord. And sometimes we have to look at the unrighteous list in order to remember what righteousness is. And so help us to be able to do that and meditate on that. Well, heads are bowed. You might have come this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ. I want to talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standards, and we just talked about that. The wages of that sin is death. We just talked about that. But the free gift of God is eternal life. It says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if right now is the time that you would like to put your faith and trust in Christ, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. While heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stick your hand up and put it back down. Let God know you meant business and let me pray for you. Anybody this morning want to give your life to Jesus Christ? Father, we just thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross. You went through it all. Everything that we're struggling with here, you went through. Nothing's new under the sun, Solomon said. The form may be different, but it's all the same. And Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us to walk righteously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and close in worship. Seek your holy face.